15 to 20 million jobs.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio. However, you can listen on the internet from anywhere in the world simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. You can also listen anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Well, joining us today, as we once again proclaim our efforts to help American workers and our theme, Working Together for the Best Interests of America and American Workers. I want to say a special thank you to Mark Andel, who is the founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, the National Small Business Advocate, Rich Logis, principal of RJL Technology Integration, and our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky. I'm Michael Blihash, always happy to be with you. Also, I have greetings from Curtis Ellis. As you know, he is out promoting the America First Project. Well, we certainly had an unbelievable State of the Union presented yesterday by President Trump. Now, I have my feelings on his speech, and today I'm going to first turn to our panel members and see exactly who thought the way I did or if they thought otherwise. To do that, I'm going to ask Larkin Connolly to come on. And Larkin, let me know what you thought of the State of the Union.
Well, good morning, Michael, and good morning to all the listeners and to my fellow panelists. It's a bright, beautiful day here in Florida. We expect a high today of 77 degrees.
Beautiful.
A little bit different than what it was last week at this time, but albeit. Last night's speech. With the exception of one part that I wish we could have taken back, I wish he hadn't said, and I'm surprised at who put it in there or who allowed it through, and that's the part about Korea. Really kind of was unnecessary, totally unprovable, and kind of provocative in the way it was presented. But, you know, beyond that, I think he gave a great speech. I really thought it was good. He's not a great orator. We all know that. Some people are born with a microphone in their mouth, like Barack Obama and John Kennedy and Ronald Reagan, especially. That's not Trump's forte. But I've listened to all of the pundits, and I've come up with a new one. I think those who can do, and I think those who can't become pundits on television, political pundits on television. I just have never – I'm trying to figure out a whole handful of people like this guy Van Jones, who is a non-practicing attorney, went to Yale. Where'd this guy come from? I mean, I really don't understand why this guy has a microphone. He has accomplished very little, started a bunch of nonprofits and stuff like that. But I just don't get it. And the response yesterday by Stacey Abrams, I thought was, she opened up the speech with a lovely story about she and her family, which I thought was somewhat entertaining. But when she accused Trump of abandoning the working man, I thought she obviously slept through that speech. She didn't hear some of the unbelievable numbers, like the level of unemployment amongst the black race, the level of unemployment both in black and brown races. I can't imagine. The Trump haters are the Trump haters, and they came out and hated what he said. The Trump supporters came out and said that he pretty much said the right things. I enjoyed what he said. I wish he had been stuck a little bit more to the infrastructure and some of the stuff like that instead of just mentioning them. And I still am a firm believer that, we're only as strong as our weakest border, and our border to the south is like a sieve.
I agree, Larkin. I agree.
And so, I applaud him. I enjoyed the speech. I thought it was way too long, but all that had to do with the interruptions. I stood up and saluted the guy from Pittsburgh. That's my hometown. All in all, I thought it was a great speech, Michael. I thought he hit all of the necessary things. And for Van Jones to call Trump psychotically incoherent, giving a speech that's full of cookies and dog poop, I think only shows the depravity of Jones's ability to speak and to express himself, but also, kind of encapsulates the haters. The other thing I would mention is last night I stayed up just a little bit longer and watched, and I swore I wouldn't do this, but I watched CBS Colbert. And, of course, Trump could cure HIV, and Colbert would blame him for the disease to begin with. But he had all the CBS morning people on, and I think that might have been the last blow for me to consider CBS in the morning a news source. It is so blatantly obvious that they don't like Trump that I can't imagine any one of those four people writing news to be presented to me at 7 o'clock in the morning that isn't tainted with their opinion. I thought it was just awful. And I again condemn that the way I condemn Fox News or anybody else who goes beyond reporting the news to me and finds it necessary to tell me their opinion, because quite frankly, I couldn't care what Gail King thinks. I just want somebody to tell me the news. I couldn't care what any one of those four people sitting on that panel think or care about, but they sure did show their colors last night on the Colbert show, and it made it perfectly obvious that they're Trump haters and not journalists, but entertainers of sorts.
You brought up something very interesting, Larkin, and I want to clarify why the president and others have made this a point from time to time. For many years, we've been talking about Hispanic unemployment is so high, and minority unemployment, black unemployment is so high, Asian unemployment, women unemployment was so high. Well, that is why this is now in the forefront, because with all the new jobs coming into the country, jobs being saved, it's saving all of the people. We are all one people. However, in certain cities and certain states, there were larger unemployment statistics amongst blacks and amongst Asians and others. Today, that has really leveled off. The only thing hurting us right now is the fact that we need more programs in our schools to get skilled workers into the system where the American people will be hiring them to be part of their business. As we speak, there were many people asking for special visas once again to bring over these people for 2 years, 5 years, in order for them to have the business technology that they need to operate their business in America, to bring them over on these special visas. Well, this is an alert, which I think the president did a great job. He said a lot of things, which we'll discuss through the balance of the program today. He also, very important, spoke about American workers and exactly what they need and what they have to offer. That's the biggest thing. As far as all these news commentators and all, what have they done to help America? What have they done to help American workers? I don't know. They're just sitting there wasting time. And if a person has that much time to waste, to sit there and listen to it, God bless them. After I saw the State of the Union, and I've seen many states of the Union over the years, The president did a great job, and I blame both the Democrats and the Republicans equally, who did very little or nothing over the last 30 or 40 years to bring this country up the ladder. They just let it stay flat for many, many years. If they did act, they would have never seen 77,000 companies move out of America. Millions, tens of millions of Americans without jobs. They sat there, all those people in white and all this. This is all fanfare that nobody needs. I listened to the president. I listened to what he had to say. I thought his message was positive. The rest of them, I could care less, because what are they doing for you, Larkin, for me, for your children and my children and Mark's children and Rich's children? They're talking nonsense. All these people that are out there saying I'm running for president and all, we should put limits on these. No new taxes. We want to hear what you're going to do with no new taxes. A balanced budget. Let's see what you'll do without $700 billion additional dollars in the budget, which keeps putting us in a deficit. Those are the things that we have to start speaking about very, very vocally.
Michael, I wanted to mention before we go to Mark a handful of things. I was very proud that Trump, in a discussion that hits Mark and I and Rich and you and the rest of our team right between the eyes, he said very, very clearly, this is not a Democratic Party problem. This is not a Republican Democratic Party. Both parties deserted this country and allowed this economic devastation to occur in this country. He blamed both parties. He blamed everybody that was involved in any level of decision making. And I thought that was extremely fair and very thought worthy. And I was amazed that he said it. But he took his own party to task on, I thought, a variety of occasions and said it's time for everybody to work together. And even for a call of unity, you had to know that the Democrats were going to come out and make some relatively ignorant comments. But for Stacey Abrams, do I have her name right? Yeah, Stacey Abrams, who's not won a contest, a political contest yet, plenty of people to blame. It's like Clinton, blame everybody but herself.
Larkin, let me ask you a question. Did you hear anything in her response that she said if she was in an elected office, what she would do to get people in her state employed?
No.
Well, this is the whole problem. This political blame game. I've been listening to that. For Republicans are no good. Democrats are no good. I want to know what is good for us, the American people. And I think the president very clearly said some very important things yesterday in that speech. We should say a presentation. The speech is just words. But he presented what was really on his mind, which is what I normally do. And I feel he did a good job.
And the other thing that they mentioned, they keep on talking about border guards ripping babies from parents' arms and separating them. I keep on trying to remind everybody, including Van Jones, that policy and procedure does not belong to Donald Trump. That policy and procedure was already in effect and was put in effect while Barack Obama was president. That is a procedure that Trump had absolutely nothing to do with.
Right. Now, I know that. And that's been going on for at least 12 years.
Listen, we're looking at a party that keeps on telling me that their hopeful candidates are Beto O'Rourke and Cortez, whatever her name is, up in New York, who wants a 70% marginal tax rate for people who have X number of dollars, and Stacey Abrams, who accuses the president of abandoning the working man and probably 3 minutes into her 5-minute speech. And I'm thinking, did she not hear what this guy said? Did she not hear those statistics?
She probably wrote a speech before she was put up there to do it. She probably wrote it earlier in the day. If she had got up there and said, my entire focus is going to make sure that my family, my friends, my neighbors are having a job. I want businesses in the state where I live and businesses in the state where all of you live. She didn't say that. They talk nonsense. They want everything for free. Where does free come from? I've learned the hard way over the years watching. Free is not always free. Free sometimes is not worth having. With that, I'm going to turn to Mark Andel. Mark, what did you think of the speech?
Mike and Larkin, welcome the listeners. Mike, I was blown away by it, to be honest with you. Speech, presentation. You know, he brought the room together, the whole room together, many times. If it was a little girl with the brain issues, and if it was our World War II or all the veterans that were honored, it was beautiful that way. But the brutal fact is there's tangible evidence of change, and it's all over. And he listed it. It was solid. I didn't think it was long. I mean, an hour or 20 minutes. It was really refreshing that compared to listening to the news stations, if it's CNN or Fox, one-sided, because he gave the facts of what he'd done. He's got it done. You know, to me, it's like the Super Bowl. If you don't like, you know, Brady, I'm in Bills country, so Brady's hated up here and the Patriots. But if you went 9 times to the Super Bowl, came back with 6 rings, they got to be doing something right.
Right.
You know, they got to be doing something right. And Trump, you know, what I hear afterwards, you can't pick on somebody that successful if they think they're going to win in 2020. Trump's getting it done. And the problem is the ones that are talking and not listening and not thinking that was a good speech or he's really got anything done are the ones that are disconnected from the Mark Andels and what I've got going on here.
And it's quite frankly, you're right, Mark. They are jealous.
They are totally disconnected from what the Americans need, what we want as businessmen, as leaders, and we all want our piece of our pie and have our good livelihoods because it's getting done. He's actually getting things done. In 2 years, he's done more than in 10 years of the other presidents or even before because I was at a workforce development meeting, a second one, last week was at an absolute care division where we had people come in from the community. Yesterday was at some local schools where they brought the teachers and staffers in. Larkin, you'd love it. And they got to ask me, the head of Moog, who's one of the largest companies in the world for defense, and Astronics, who makes all the lighted instruments, panel devices for planes, and a few others on the board, but we're in an auditorium, and the teachers and staffers got to ask us, what do we need? What are we missing with these kids, and how do we get them more connected to the business? How do we get the skilled trades gap? Because skilled trades, if you guys haven't noticed, been on the front of the Buffalo newspaper twice this year already. We've talked about it how many years, but it's real. But they want to know what we can do for our kids, how we can make this. Because the head of Moog and the head of this Astronics, they said, we got more work than we ever had, and we're turning away work because we have no workers.
Right.
So if you don't listen to that, you know, speech last night, the president, he's getting the stuff done and being treated as the worst president on earth. You couldn't treat a person worse and still getting the job done, so hats off.
You know, I'm going to just mention this because yesterday the governor of Pennsylvania, Governor Wolf, gave his budget address. And in that budget address, he focused on so many new job training programs.
Unbelievable.
Getting programs into the schools. Unbelievable, because it's the people. They see what's going on. People walking into stores. People bypassing all that foreign stuff. You see some of these stores that focused on mainly foreign made just closing up.
But large companies give it can't take in work because they have no workers.
Mike, no workers. As I said earlier, they're begging for these visa people again to come from India, China, wherever they can get them because, yes, they want to open up new product lines in the United States. Great. That's great to hear. But when you go and you look at the base of employables, they're not there. The people have not had any hands-on training in high school, let alone out of high school. And to do the training programs in the workplace is too expensive.
But guys, since this is a 30, 40-year mistake, this shows how long our education system's been broke. The skilled trades have got a stigma where it's no good to work with your hands. And now you've got a president. It took 30 to 40 years to make it everything this busy where we are demanding skilled workers, where people are now forced to look at this problem. It's pretty cool.
You know, we've been looking at this thing in Washington for years. what I see is for 30 years, this has been a horrible, horrible leadership all the way down the line. Washington leaders found their way to raise our taxes, spend our tax dollars on programs that gave people benefits. And those benefits were really
exactly,
to
Mike.
Hide the fact that we had less jobs in America.
That I have to pay for.
That's exactly right. But the thing is, our mission on this radio broadcast and through all of the missions that we've been doing for already 20 years, we've kept our eye on the one thing, help businesses in America keep jobs in America. And that's the whole bottom line. I think, you know, President Trump is not a savvy politician, and that shows. And that really, this is what America needed at this point. I didn't think it would turn out as good as it is, but it has turned out much better than most of us have done. And the blame game, you see the blame gamers, these people on these various television shows, they would have no job if they didn't have the opportunity to blame somebody else for this or that. It's time for the blame game to be finished. Let's talk about what Governor Wolf talked about yesterday during his budget address. Our schools have to address skills in the schools, 8th grade, 9th grade, 10th grade, after school programs, after high school programs, where kids are going to be able to learn a trade. This is the kind of stuff we want to hear, not the nonsense that we're going to give this and we want free education. We want free everything. Where is it going to come from? What moon man is going to deliver the bushel of dollars to us, Rich?
Right? Hey, guys, good morning. And sorry that I am coming on late. And Larkin, I hope I didn't wake you up last night with my 11:45 text messages.
I enjoyed it. Rich, I enjoyed it a lot.
I had to say, you know, I was thinking about this last night. Well, good morning to everyone and our listeners. Sorry, let me start with that. And I was thinking last night, and maybe it's not the most well-thought-out statement, Michael, but, you know, you just can't – inevitably what happens is when you look at our current state of politics and you think about our prior presidents, I think I've come up with the singular differentiation between President Obama and President Trump. And here's what I think it is. For those who loved government in all of its iterations, higher taxes, infringement upon rights, the state as God, big government. For those who loved government, they loved President Obama. But I think for those who love America, those are the people who love Trump. Because when I think about America, I think about the exact opposite of the reasons people loved President Obama. Because when I think America, I don't think big government. I think smaller government. I don't think about infringement upon rights. I think about the freest country in the history of mankind. That's what I think about. And when you look at the response last night from Ms. Abrams, who lost the governor's race in Georgia and claimed that there was voter fraud that helped her opponent, which is weird because Democrats, Larkin, have been telling me for years that voter fraud is a vast right-wing conspiracy. So if you really look at how it broke down, Michael, and again, politics and media, like I tell you guys all the time, it's not about news and facts. It's about narratives. And so she ran the three main – there are three main narrative points that Democrats always come back to. Marxism-Leninism. John Lennon? No, Vladimir Lenin. Who's that exactly? So Marxism and Leninism is always economic class war. So if you listen last night, she regurgitated that point, which is the bourgeois versus the proletariat economic class war, right? The us versus them economic battle. That's Marxism-Leninism. The second point is always about our Constitution, even though it's not literally said that way. And so the way that Democrats go with the Constitution is they invent rights out of thin air. They just, like I heard the words reproductive justice last night. And Mark, I pulled out my pocket Constitution. I didn't see the words reproductive justice in the Constitution. Did I miss them? I didn't see them in there. So they go at your right. So it's the economy, then it's the Constitution, Michael. And then last but not least, because politics is about fear. Our side does it too. Fear and greed is how human beings make decisions. It's how they buy. It's how they vote. The last and final point is always about the boogeyman. And the boogeyman – narrative of Democrats is that the United States is a racist, homophobic, Islamophobic, and misogynistic nation. But of course, the contradiction in that statement is Democrats then in the next breath say that everything at the border is amazingly great. So that's all that Abrams did. It's just, that's what you do, Michael. That's what you do when the majority of people and the majority of states do not want your political product. Take it out of the realm, Mark, of politics. Just look at it as a, just look at it from business. The burden of proof, Michael, is not on the incumbent. It is on the minority legislative side. The burden of proof is not on President Trump. That case has already been made and won, Michael. And I've told you guys before, and I will reiterate this point, that while it is absolutely a bipartisan problem with illegal immigration, the Democratic Party has abjectly and utterly lost the case on illegal immigration. It's done. The case is over, Michael. We're not going to keep relitigating cases. You lost. You meaning the Dems. They've lost, Michael. We don't believe in relitigating. The case is done and closed and lost. Now it's time to get a remedy and a solution. They don't have one. So I hope that coming out of the State of the Union last night, which was, I think, a very wise move on the part of the president to talk about a unity theme, now the ball's back in the Dems' court, and the burden is on them to come to the table and say, the American people want border security, and they don't want a half-assed version of it. They want it done the right way. So if it's not the wall, the Democrats have to come up with an alternative. The burden of proof and the onus is on them. And as I say to people all the time, being in the majority, winning the presidency, does not mean that we can do whatever we want, Michael. However, elections are still consequential, even when you lose. So what I like to tell Democrats all the time is it doesn't mean we can do whatever we want. There are two main requirements government has to all people, irrespective of who votes or not. And I tell Democrats, number one, and never Trumper Democrats, and never Trumpers, by the way, are the stupidest group of people in America. So I tell them, number one, you have a right, however you voted or didn't, you have a right to be kept safe and secure. That's why we're going to build a wall. And number two, you have a right to make sure that your rights are not infringed upon. That's why we've got Supreme Court Justice Gorsuch and Kavanaugh. So you should be ecstatic that the winning side has worked to make sure you're kept safe and secure and that your rights aren't infringed. So when people ask, Mark, what has the president done? That question isn't really rooted in what he's done. The question is rooted in, he hasn't done enough that I want. Well, not getting what you want in politics, Michael, is a consequence of being on the losing side. We don't have elections for show and pomp and circumstance. We have elections to enact change and or to preserve parts of our nation, whatever it may be in whatever form, to preserve that. And that's what 2016 was really all about. It was a rebellion against the two-party industrial complex, and it's why, for the first time in American history, Donald Trump's election, Michael, was the most glass-ceiling-shattering election in American history. Why? Because winning based on race and gender aren't skills and achievements. Winning as a civilian in the presidency, however, is. So we actually came through with the most glass-ceiling-shattering win in the history of this nation. And it's time for everybody to get to work. That's what it's bottom line, Michael. It's time for everyone to get to work on behalf of the people they work for, the American people.
Well, I can't agree more, Rich. I mean, the big thing with me is this has been something that's been 30 years that should have been addressed for 30 years. As you know, we have about 700 miles of fencing on the California border. People are no longer coming into America or into California because there's, in some places, three tiers of a fence to get over, and it's not very easy. Technology, I hate to tell you, is not going to do it. It's simply not going to do it. You need a wall in this situation. People are not running out of America. They are running to America. I want people to come here legally. That's the bottom line. Every person that I work with through my human service job I work with people who did their best to become Americans. They never came over the fence. They came with sometimes several years of waiting to come to America, to be here, accepted, and obey the law to come in. This coming over and just coming into the state, it's absolutely ridiculous. People tell me, oh, Trump was born with a silver spoon in his mouth and all, and this and that. And his father gave him $1 million to do this and that. I say, well, that's probably true. However, his father's been out of the picture for many, many years. He had to go up the ladder of success on his own. And I'm hearing from people more and more, even especially since this last election in November, people want somebody to talk about jobs in this country, security in this country, and the future of our young people. We're not discussing that enough. We have the lowest unemployment that we've had in America in the last 49 years, which has been that way for the last year and a half. It's historic to have all these people working. However, remember this, 157 million adults working age, people working, is still not enough. We need at least 195 million people working at full and part-time jobs. Right now, there are many high school students, college students that would like part-time jobs so that they could work as they're going to school. We have mothers who have their children in school who would like to go to a job 4, 5, 6 hours a day. Those jobs were cut back as industries and businesses died. We're trying to revive all of that, Larkin.
So I wanted to take exception, although I don't think this is exactly what Rich meant. I think that Democrats and Republicans alike are true patriots, and truly want to see this country be successful. I don't think there's anybody out there that's trying to create socialism because they think it'll ruin the country or. I mean, it's a true belief of theirs that socialism is a viable way to run this government. I don't think the separations, the differences, have been more acute than they are right now. I don't think there's any question of that. Democrats are for a larger government, and you know, they feel this way because they think that is truly the answer to the problems that Americans face, whereas Republicans, on the whole, believe in less government, less intrusion, fewer regulations. You know, I heard last night Donald Trump, somebody actually said that Donald Trump has done some really good things that have improved the economy. Of course, you know, Barack Obama set the table. I got news for you. I got some really, really stark, ravingly hard news for a lot of people to swallow. If Barack Obama had served 4 more years, our economy would be as anemic as it was the day he walked out of that office. It was anemic. Wasn't recovering. Things were getting better. But the economy was growing at a rate so small that it wasn't having any effect. Donald Trump walked in there, started signing pieces of paper that absolutely eliminated regulations, were all pro-business, cut the taxes. We had the highest corporate tax in the world. How do you survive in a world economy with the highest tax? You know, it's just, listen, the difference between Republicans and Democrats now has never been stronger, ever, 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 ever. And if you want more government, if you want to take from the rich and give it to the poor, if you want to give handouts and not hand ups, then vote Democratic.
Well, Larkin and Mark, I'm going to turn to you next. This is my feeling on this. As far as all those people that announced for president, that's very good. You can do anything you choose in America. But I want those people to only focus on what they can offer to make America better. No unfunded programs. We need this. We need that. No new taxes. Nothing that can't be implemented from the tax dollars that the American people are already paying right now, which is a $700 billion deficit, according to Larkin, that is going on. I want that all to be taken off the table. No more deficit spending, no more wish lists, no all flash and no cash. If they say something, I want them to back it up. Where's the money?
Then you're not a Democrat.
I think that every American wants to be an American, not to work and slave to be taxed to death.
I don't know. You'll find out in the next election. You will find out very clearly in the next election. If in fact the country is smart enough to make it a policy decision the way they vote and not a personality decision, then you're going to get a good feel for exactly what the majority of Americans want. And it doesn't mean that because they want more government that they're not true flag-waving American-loving citizens. It just doesn't. It just means that they believe in a different kind of government. They believe government has a different responsibility in their world, and that's fine. But listen, we have to talk up our side. That's all. We just have to be stronger and try to get everybody to understand that you can say whatever you want about Donald Trump. That we don't want to talk about Donald Trump. We want to talk about his policies and what has worked and what hasn't worked, and how we want to make this a better country for everybody.
Yes, you know, Larkin, and I think that when Trump is running for re-election, I think that every candidate who's up there should tell us what they have to offer. They should show us in writing how they're going to use America's taxes more wisely. I think they should be required to do it. When I'm filing for something, I have to give them a soup to nuts presentation of how the funds are going to be used. I think we should require it because this time for pipe dreams is over. People, we've had people in the past who bid on to everything they heard. Nothing in life is free. You have to have somewhere for that income to come from. Mark is a businessman. Mark, you want people to work, earn, and save. Not the give me everything mentality. We simply can't do that. We tried that for a number of years, as I said before, trying to hide the fact that businesses moved out of America. We had so many unemployed people that we put them on various programs. Those days are over. We have no more money to give. Mark, do you have a lot of money to give for some more welfare type level programs?
We don't. You know, and I had a meeting with my ops manager and my shop top manager today, and we talked about this one team. You know, we got to deliver quality parts and product and service on time. We got to do certain things with loyal, believing, and caring people. And, Rich, you hit it. You either want big government or you love America and like America the way we are. Even Larkin and Rich, if you go back to last week's show, the way you sounded last week to this week, that speech presentation made a difference. And I see it and I hear it. And it's pretty neat. Mike, what you're talking about, we're doers. We want to earn, you know, if you're a true American, you don't want to be picked on. You don't want government in your way. You want to earn your keep. You want to do your thing and be left alone. And I think you're hitting it. One side wants a handout. The other one is fine with earning it. And it was just shown. It's just something how even small shops, small companies like myself get divided by negative people or people that aren't educated or people just don't want to accept tangible change, even when it hits them in the face. And I see it so clear here, you got to stay away from the negative people. And that's where I down these media outlets that just constantly give that cancer negative. It's just not healthy.
I'm trying to get rid of all these bloodsuckers around me, too. It's
you
just too
to,
much of it. It's just
healthy.
Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want everything I want. Anything that I'm owed it. You're owed nothing.
Exactly. sick.
You have to have your family, your
but
friends, your teachers,
changed,
get a good education, learn what's happening, not just look to be there that government is your God. They want to change from G-O-D to G-O-V. And so government will be their God, and they'll go to their God for anything and everything that is possible. This has got to stop. I want to go back for a few minutes to the border wall. Last week we talked about the shutdown being ended and the possibility of another shutdown in place if the border wall is not funded. Quite frankly, in talking with a number of very quality people, I want to ask the both of you, do you feel it would be the best for the president to declare a national emergency and put this in the hands of the Supreme Court if necessary? Because this politicking going on in Washington, it's never going to end. You have to take it by the horns. Look at the drugs that come in through the country. Look at the people coming in. Those souls are coming in here looking for a better life, and that's wonderful. They should apply to come here. They should know that they're welcome. They should know that they're authorized to come, not just run over the wall. This is not the way any of the people I work with did it. They did it the legal way. That's all we're asking. And the fact that we have to put up a wall, like the Great Wall of China, is also very unfortunate. However, I think, personally, that the president should declare a national emergency, and let's see what the Supreme Court, let's see what all the political leaders are going to do. For many years, they've been saying we need walls. They authorized $25 billion for the wall. What happened to all that? When it was time to talk, everybody was for the wall. When it came time to build, everybody says, oh, we don't need a wall. We need technology. It's immoral. It's this and that. It's all nonsense, total nonsense. I think a wall is necessary to tell the people, just like you have a door that goes into your house, you have a fence around your house, you have a door that opens to the fence or the garage. That's what we have to show. You want to come here, you come here legally. We have a process to come. The president also said it yesterday, and I agree. If we need workers, let's open the door as we did during the Industrial Revolution. We came to the businesses came to the government and said, I need 200 workers to go into the mines. I need 200 workers to go into the steel mills. I need 1,000 workers to go into the sewing factories. And they, with that authorization, went to the various countries and pulled the people in. We're not pulling these people in from other countries now. They are, as far as I'm concerned, invading America. And we have to say, sorry, you come here legally, or we don't want you here at all. Larkin, give me your opinion.
Well, I'm going to respectfully disagree with you. I think that if the president declares a national emergency, and I'm not doubting that we have a national emergency type issue on our hands, I just don't think at this point that really is the way to resolve this. What I'd like to see is I'd like to see the president sit down with the Democrats, sit down with the appropriators who have it right now. And this is a level of federal government that a lot of people don't know. They understand the judicial branch. They understand the executive branch. They understand the legislative branch. But they don't understand that there are a lot of people in Washington, D.C. who work as appropriators. And these are the people that are supposedly not political in nature, but try to work out economic issues like this to resolve the issue in the most expeditious, effective, and affordable way. So I'd like the president to step a cut above his political opponents right now and to find out what these people have to say, what the appropriators have to say, and give some consideration to. I think we need protection. I don't think there's any question of that, but I think protection comes in many, many forms. And if they really want to oppose the president for political reasons, then that's what it is. We all know that. If there weren't a political motivation here, Nancy Pelosi would have come up with an alternative plan a long, long time ago. But all she talks about is, you know, we want to spend more money. We want to get more police and more forces, which, you know.
Well, Larkin, I agree in one respect. I would like to see it done at the hands of the people, all of the people of the United States elected to go to Washington to represent their best interests. What I'm seeing now is many years of bickering that's going nowhere. And I believe the wall should stand, or the barrier, whatever you want to call it, should stand on its own. It should not be attached to this bill or to DACA or any of this stuff. It should stand on its own. It's a security of America. That's it. And the people are disobeying the law, so we have to put up stop signs to make a car stop. We put up red lights. Red light, stop says the red light, go says the green, wait says the yellow light flashing in between. There's all these things. We have been bickering about it for many, many years. In many big cities, we have so many, unfortunately, illegal people that could and should be put on the books and made legal. But that doesn't mean that we can continue to have an avalanche of people continue to come to the country. We just can't do it. You have to enter. If I come to your house, Larkin, I knock on your door. You either look through the peephole, you either open the door, you ignore me, or whatever. When I knock on the door and say, I want to come and live in America, you or in your house, you have to give the approval and open the door. That's my simple answer to it. If we cannot do that with the people that we sent to Washington from all the states, maybe we have to have a major debate in the Supreme Court to bring out all the pros and cons of this barrier once and for all, because I've been listening about this barrier for at least 25 years. Every person who's been in leadership, whether it was Clinton, you look at his State of the Union speech, whether it was Obama or President Bush, everyone spoke about the difficulties at the southern border. We should have addressed this years ago. Instead, there's 1,000 checkers and there's on the checkerboard, and there's no place to move.
So I don't disagree with anything that you said, in large part. But I will say there is more than one way to skin a cat.
Yes, and I would like to see every one of them. I would like to see Nancy Pelosi and Schumer and all these people at the table signing the fact that they want border security. I'd rather that than have it go to the Supreme Court. But in this case, if it has to go to the Supreme Court, God bless. We want protection on our border. All of the blame game, all we want this included in that. I don't think it's the right thing to do.
Yeah, Mike and Larkin, and if you're the leader of this country, President Trump, you have to answer this problem. If I've got a hole in my roof, if something's damaged, it's got to be taken care of. So I think it is a national emergency, and I think he's tried the other way, but any one day wasted, one life wasted from drugs or an officer shot is on his watch, and I think he has to go to the next level and get this done. This isn't a political thing. This is getting a job done. He's the leader.
You know, I agree with you, Mark. It's like anything else. If you're going out in a snowstorm, do you go out in slippers or do you put your boots on? Well, yeah, of course, you put your boots on because you know you're going to go out in snow. We don't have anything at that border. All that technology and all that they've been talking about, that hasn't ended the masses of people trying to come. And I don't blame those people for trying to come to America. Everyone wants to come to America. What I blame...
We're just saying control it, Mike.
Right. You have to control it. You, like I said, I knock on your door, you open the door, and you let me in. If you want to. If you don't want to, you just ignore me. And if you're on the other side of the wall, and I'm sorry, you have to go back to your country and sign a paper that you would like to come in here, whether it's for political asylum, you want to come to work, family reunification. There are all these things.
You follow the process.
You follow the process. I work with many of the people, as you know, Larkin, and they tell me they want security. They want to make sure that their sons and daughters and neighbors have a job first, rather than trying to find jobs for the people coming in illegally through our borders. And I agree with that 1,000%.
I think there are different ways to skin a cat. And if I knew that President Trump, at the end of either his first or second term, whatever the country gives him, everybody kind of goes to move on to the next president, and the Democrats turn around and go, wait a minute, where'd that wall come from? We didn't approve that. I'm telling you, he could get the job done. He could protect the border and get the job done. I just think that in order to end this political, listen, the Democrats don't want a wall because they don't want Donald Trump to have that success. If they thought, and this is Rich's feeling, and I agree with this so much it's not even funny, if they thought that the wall was going to be a failure, you know doggone well they'd fund that thing tomorrow morning that pin that outcome right on the president. But they know it's going to work. I mean, they know that it'll work. And
it should be their decision, though. This is something that has to be done.
You know, Mark, we go around the world to defend the borders of other people. And yet,
almost $1 trillion in Afghanistan.
Right. $1 trillion was spent, you know, keeping those people within their borders. And yet we are balking about taking money out of our treasury to build a wall. We have to be in control of that. When you come to America through airports or shipping terminals or whatever, that's a different process. That's much harder to get into. But when you're able to come through the back, you know, woods or forests or deserts, you're not able to do that with technology. You need a barrier. You
and
definitely need a barrier.
It's not just the wall, Mike. It's everything that he's including in this. More border patrol, more protection, more screening, more training.
The border patrol people have said they need something, some additional help. All that, more border security, more people, all that is more money putting us into a deficit. Department of Defense said they need a wall. How many more people of real authority, real knowledge do we have to hear from before we say, okay, we should put some kind of a barrier up there so that people know where the door is and not just the place you run through to get in? We have to look out for our children and our grandchildren. Larkin, Mark, you have to look out for your children. Rich has to look out for his children. Henry has to look out for his children. I don't want to, you know, degrade the fact that people are having a lot of difficulties in any other country, but I want to note it that we have a great country right now. We want to make sure that the people coming to our country are needed, accepted, and are coming with our permission. Because no matter what, good people, when a person comes here, they are at our hospitality. They then are going to have their children in our education system. They are going to have their children in our welfare system. They're going to have themselves and their children in our medical system. It doesn't happen that the person comes over and all of a sudden they vanish into thin air. These people, every person needs human services. They need to be treated with respect. We want to respect the people who are here, and we want to know why they're here, where they live, what they do, what kind of a legal status they have to work. We need to know all that. That's my opinion, and you know my opinion, and I've been on a few radio programs, and I haven't had a lot of negative feedback with my thinking. The national leaders are balking about this, yet we're sending billions, hundreds of billions of dollars in financial aid all over the world. We need that aid on our southern border right now.
Yeah, especially if our top advisors need it. The Border Patrol needs it. Trump's got a job to do. He's got to get it done. You can't have lip service when you're losing lives. You just can't, Mike. You got to do your job.
You take every excuse off the table by, it's like a process of elimination. If the fence doesn't work, the border doesn't work, then you try the next thing.
And both sides should support it. It's something that needs
right.
to be done. It's obvious.
It's obvious. And as I said earlier, all these people running for president, they should be talking about how they're going to generate the funds or use the funds we have in place. No more new taxes. Oh, we'll just raise the taxes here and there. I'm sorry. That's not the way it can be. Well, as you can hear, ladies and gentlemen, this was a very good program. I enjoyed. Larkin, you were the best. Rich, thank you for your participation. Mark, as always, you are the best. And may I encourage you to go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and see all of our panel members listed. Stop and click on Mark Andel's Made in America store. Listen to his show. Click on Rich Loges. Check out his broadcast, and of course, honor our 2019 theme, Working Together for the Best Interests of America and American Workers. May God bless all of you, and God bless America. Until this Saturday at 11, or next Wednesday at 11, I wish all of you the very best. Have a great one.
One country,
everybody.
One goal.
Thank you to President Trump for bringing up our movement in his speech.